for today is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and can be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. It was a little over 40 years ago that George Carlin had a routine, a comedian from a day gone by, on seven words you cannot say on television. And while most of those seven words are okay for television nowadays, 30, 40 years later, I still can't say them in a sermon. They're bad words, unpleasant in everyday conversation, and yet that they are acceptable by some, because what is acceptable language in one place is not considered acceptable in another. For example, if you were to be on a Navy ship, the language is, it's a fact, you were there. The language is common versus speaking that kind of language in the church. However, if you were to speak with the same kind of gentleness and calmness in the church as you do on a Navy ship, then you'd get run over on the ship. You wouldn't survive. The language, it doesn't always work both ways, and that's just the way it is. What one person considers a good word, another person may not. And sometimes that's from our experiences, sometimes that's just the way we interpret what's going on. But there are other words, as those foul words are called, and though they have much more letters than that, they're four-letter words. We got four-letter words. Those are the words we don't talk about, even though there are more than four. But there's some four-letter words that, well, and one in particular, that some people may see as good and others not so good. And that's that word love. Love is a four-letter word. And yet it's treated by some in a wonderful way, and it's treated by others more like it's a four-letter word because they're hesitant to say it. They're hesitant to use it. A cynic from days gone by, Aldous Huxley wrote, "Of all the dog-eared words in our vocabulary, certainly this is the grubbiest, the slimiest, the smelliest, bawled from millions of pulpits and lasciviously crooned from 100 million loudspeakers." He did not care for that term love, the way the word love was being used. I like to look at love more along the lines of the Apostle John, who said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and God is love." That's the truth. If this is love, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. There's the truth of God. And he made that atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is a four-letter word that should be in your vocabulary. Although it is treated as some more like an obscenity, they're hesitant to say it, or they won't say it until someone else has said it first. And that may be between a husband and a wife that have been married for years. It may be between a young couple that are dating early on. But sometimes that word love is held hostage, because we may feel that love, but we won't say it because we're upset what the other person has done or something the other person is said. And so we think, well, I'm not going to express that word of love until we straighten things out or until they apologize or they say it first. Love isn't a word that we should treat like that. Love is a good word that we should use and use freely. Love is a grand word for us to continue to hold on to. It's a word that comes from God, as God is love, we're told. On Tuesday of this week, we have that great commercial holiday, Valentine's Day. It's not as bad as some of these others that Hallmark created to sell cards, like Boss's Day and stuff like that, or Secretary's Assistant Day, or Elevator Operator Day. You know, they've got everything you can imagine to sell the cards. And Valentine's Day has become almost as commercial as Christmas. We still see the candies and the cards and certainly jewelry. You know, he went to Jared's, right? We haven't gotten to the point where it's like Christmas, where we see bows on cars in the driveway for Valentine's Day, but it's going to happen too at some point, I'm sure. But what we do with Valentine's Day, hopefully as Christians, is bring it back to, for us, an understanding if we're going to celebrate a day for love, it's God's love for us that really matters. It's God's love for us that's most important for us. And if you will, God has said to all of us through his sacrifice of Christ, be my Valentine. And we get that word Valentine. Valentine came out of, and there's both truth and legend behind the origin of Valentine's Day and this Saint Valentinus and what was done. It's said that Valentinus healed a blind girl, was able to give her sight, and then for his professions of Christianity was imprisoned. And there's a lot of different aspects to the story, but this just in brief. He would send his letters out to those that he cared for still out while he was in prison, and he would say, remember your Valentine and I love you, is the way he would sign them all. And so from February 14th, 270, when Valentinus died, until today, we have a tradition that has gone on and off at times and is carried on pretty regularly now as Valentine's Day, a day to talk about love. And it can be love for a friend, it can be love for a spouse, it can be love for a parent or love for a sibling or child, but it's about love. And who do we love and why do we love? Most importantly, I hope we would recover it's about God's love in us and God's love through us. And why should we limit the idea of talking about that kind and level of love to one day a year? We shouldn't, obviously. We need to continue to recognize that love is to be part of our relationship all the time. I have a love for you as my family in the Christian church. A love for you as my family, as fellow believers of God in this place, as the body of Christ. And we can express those kinds of words of love openly and freely, and should do so to remind each other of the depth of our relationships. But I think of some situations where some people are hesitant to use that word. For those of you, which is most of us in here, that are familiar with the old show with Edith and Archie, All in the Family, there was an episode, I remember real well, where Edith says to Archie, do you love me? And Archie's response, just like you would expect it to be, oh, geez, Edith, why do you ask me questions like that? Because he's not one that wants to say those kinds of things. And she says, yes, Archie, but do you love me? And his response, well, I'm here, ain't I? Okay, close, but no chocolate-covered strawberry. It's getting in there. I'm here, but the words I love you need to be expressed. And I would say for those celebrating 60 years, and as I said to Bob and Charlotte in the earlier service, 59 years, you don't get to that point without saying I love you. You don't get to that point without living that kind of love. And you've got to be able to express it openly and freely. Otherwise, I would really hesitate to think that you can make 60 years in a relationship. We are to be a people of love. And the gifts that we give for those expressions of love, the gifts are fine, but they're perishable, unlike the gift that God gave us, which is imperishable, the gift of salvation and forgiveness. The gifts that we give, they fall away, they rot away, they decay over time. Even jewelry will not last forever or be lost, but the love that we express is something that is there forever and can be there forever. You can continue to say, I love you. And this is one of those rare cases where we say actions speak louder than words. Well, no, this is one of those occasions where you need the words too. Actions are great. I'm here, ain't I? They're great, but we need those words to go along with it here that say, I love you for people. And as I said, this is on every level. This is between siblings and parents and children and husband and wife relationships, boy and girlfriend relationships when they get to that point. Because up until then, it's, yeah, you don't want to say that. You're afraid you'll get hurt. But we do that as adults too. We are hesitant to say it to people because when we express that, we are also opening ourselves up to hurt. It's not something that goes away or it's something that's because of our age. It's because of how we're made. And if we truly, truly are as God is, children of God, following in His will and His ways, then we're going to go ahead and open ourselves up to that hurt. God certainly has. He so loved the world, but not all the world has loved Him back. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Doesn't say love your neighbors who attend the church with you. Doesn't say love your neighbors who are Christians. Doesn't say love your neighbors who are nice to you or love you back. It says love your neighbors, blanket, as yourself. And we're called to love. It's just part and parcel with what being a Christian is. Our text says, you know, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then those famous words, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That death and that resurrection of Christ not only shows us that God loves us, but that God will continue to love us for all time. There is a marriage counselor that I identified the 12 hardest words in the English language regarding a marriage relationship. A marriage relationship. The words are, I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And I love you. 4 3-word sentences. Hardest 12 words in a marriage relationship. Those should be the easiest words there. Because you've been together and you are together and you've committed to be together. And yet, they're hard there. If they're hard there, you're certainly going to find them hard for everyone else in the world in every other relationship. And we even find it hard to say back to God. I mean, how do we reflect that love back to God? Not just with our words, but with our actions. And saying both to God. You miss a Valentine's Day. You miss a birthday. You miss an anniversary date with someone that you are supposed to love. And you're in trouble, first of all. But the question is, how could you not remember that? You know, what about, you know, how does this reflect our love if you won't remember, don't remember that? Well, I think about that on the level of a relationship we have with God. How many people are there in the world that claim to be members of the church and yet do not come and have a relationship with God in the church, in His place, and the opportunities to sing His praises with other Christians, with the body of Christ, to say, I love you, Lord, as we sing and as we pray and as we worship Him, to reflect that love that He has given us back to Him and to the world around us. This love comes from Him. And there are many people that don't speak that love back to God, sadly. That's not who God has called us to be. The struggle, I guess, we face is kind of like that old saying that says, to love the world for me is no chore. My trouble is loving the person next door. We can love the world. Oh, I love the world. I love the world. But then I got to deal with individuals in the world. Now maybe it's not the word love anymore at this point, because we're dealing with frustrations and hardships and struggles and problems and conflict. What do you think God thinks of us? How much more can I love Him? How much more can God love us than what He's already done for us? Is there any greater expression of love? We're told in Scripture there's not. If you can come up from a hurt earthly mindset of some greater expression of love than being willing to let your own son die for these other people who were your enemies so that they might be saved and know the glories of heaven and that they don't just have to end things with this earth or with the punishment of hell? What greater love than this? And yet, what's the return on that love for God? We love the Lord. We're called to love the Lord. And we're called to practice that love. We're not going to get it perfect, not in this life, but we're called to practice that love. And that is through worship, and that is through fellowship, and that is through singing His praises, that's through home devotion, that's through our prayer life. It's through saying to God, I love you, knowing that He said it to us and says it to us. God could have rejected us. And in many cases, if it were up to others to make the decisions, He would have rejected us. There are many times in my life when I deserved the rejection more than the correction that God gave to me. And yet God loves me still. God loves you still. He always has, He always will. He proved it on the cross. I loved you this much is the idea. Jesus' arms are stretched out and nailed to that cross, nailed open, so that symbolic reference is there for us always. The cross reminds us of that love of Christ. How much do you love Him in return? And how are you willing to not only show that, but to express that? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the truth. And then through that sacrifice, in this, it says, I will know you are my disciples. And if you have love for one another. Love for one another is where we have to take it next. It's not just the love for God, but a love for you, a love for me, a love for those around us. A love that it's not expecting to or saying that love has to be returned. Will you still love even if the love is not returned? You're called to. God does all the time. That's the model we have. God has given you the best gift of all. And He says to you, be my Valentine. And He signs it with an I love you. And He's proven it with the seal of the cross. Now the only question is, for you, regarding your relationship with God and others, is it going to be a four-letter word, love? I hope so. Back to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.